You're listening to Stateside. I'm April Baer. Kids in Michigan schools are spending more and more time with substitute teachers. Last year, Bridge magazine reported that subs were leading thousands of classrooms on a long-term basis. Many of them are not certified and unqualified for the subjects they teach. Alexandra Schmidt is public engagement director and a reporter at Bridge magazine. Alexandra, welcome back to Stateside.
Great to be here again.
So the stage that we're at now is post-survey, post-summit. Do you feel like there was consensus about long-term reliance on substitutes being a crucial problem?
Yes. We asked residents what their confidence level were in full-time teachers that are certified and long-term uncertified subs, as well as their concern level if they had a student who had a long-term sub. And we found broad consensus that people have less confidence in long-term uncertified substitutes, and they would be concerned or very concerned if their student had a long-term sub in their classroom all year.
I don't know if this was an explicit question, but did respondents say it was more important than the shortage of qualified teachers? That is, after all, why the stopgap method of long-term subs are being used.
Yes. So that is really something we heard from education experts a bit more than from residents. Experts said that teacher shortage is really what is driving it, and that if we don't solve the teacher shortage, that it's going to be more difficult to solve the issue of long-term subs in Michigan classrooms. We did ask Michigan residents about four different options to increase the number of certified teachers in Michigan classrooms, and we found a really high support for all four of those options. One of those was offering financial incentives for teachers to work in understaffed schools. One was expanding the state's interim teaching certificate program, encouraging undergraduates to enroll in teacher preparation programs, and reforming state law so retired teachers can substitute without diminished retirement benefits. And we found that over 90% of residents supported all of those options.
I was going over the results, and there's a ton of information there about what people would support. But could you talk to us a little bit about specifically how subs are turned into qualified subs, are turned into certified teachers? I mean, a lot of people have concerns about what long-term subs mean in terms, you know, what does that mean, the hard work and the very hard-won knowledge that a certified, trained professional teaching corps brings to the job? But what about the barriers in terms of why the subs aren't becoming and progressing forward into full-time positions?
So right now, to be hired as a long-term substitute teacher, you need to have 60 educational credits past high school. So that equates to about 2 years of a bachelor's degree or an associate's degree. Those credits can be in any topic. It doesn't have to be related to education or the topic that you're hired to teach. Certified teachers have to go through a bachelor's program, student teaching. There are a lot more qualifications that you need to go through. There is a program that the state has called an interim teaching certificate program that allows people with a bachelor's degree and relevant work experience to get their teaching certification in 1 year. That was actually expanding that program was the most popular solution offered when we polled Michigan residents. That is a program that some schools relying on long-term subs use as a professional development tool, but it's not something that every long-term sub in the state wants to do.
Let's talk a little bit more about what the survey and the forums turned up about the salaries that teachers are paid. One of the recommendations is that, you know, just increasing the salary for teachers is mission critical. I mean, is that something that realistically can be acted on sooner rather than later?
Yes. So the education experts that we spoke with said that low salaries are definitely a deterrent to people entering and staying in the profession. And the residents across the state supported financial incentives for teachers to go to understaffed schools. But certainly working out how to pay for that is always going to be the issue that the legislature would need to work through if they wanted to move forward on that.
I assume you were in the room for a lot of these sessions.
So I was there for the conference that we hosted in Lansing last November.
What did you notice about people's frustrations with the situation?
One of the really common things that we have heard at public engagement meetings across the state over the last several years of doing public engagement campaigns like this is a lot of frustration from educators at the what they perceive to be increasing lack of respect for the profession. And they think that with the lack of respect comes more punitive policies that actually end up limiting their ability to be effective rather than helping students.
It's really interesting, given the sort of the macro look at how America feels about education would seem to imply that teachers picked up a lot of capital in recent years in, granted, states outside Michigan, places like Oklahoma and West Virginia, where the public, teachers chose to protest and the public really came out in force and said, yes, we support this. We support paying our teachers and making sure our schools aren't completely falling apart. And yet, do you think that that's a separate issue than some of the trends that you've been able to research in Michigan?
Yeah, so we certainly find that they, in the conversations that we have, that there's a lot of support for local teachers. People always say our schools are wonderful. The teachers that I know are wonderful. But as you mentioned, there does seem to be some sort of disconnect between, you know, talking to people one-on-one about their local educators and the policies that we are seeing play out. In Michigan, for example, the average teacher's salary is higher than the average income in Michigan, but it takes about 10 or so years to get to that level. The entry level salary for a teacher is much lower, and a lot of teachers leave the profession before they hit that point.
There's a policy discussion that would have to be had about shifting the equation and paying new teachers more. Was there any discussion within the forums of how that might work on a practical level?
That is certainly something that Dr. Nikolai Vidi of Detroit Public Schools touched on at our summit last November. He led a pay increase for a lot of teachers in Detroit Public Schools to solve their reliance on long-term substitute teachers. He says that they increased salaries by $9,000 on average for certain teachers, and they also offered signing bonuses for hard-to-staff schools. They found that that was a really effective way to fill a lot of the vacancies that they had, but they did see that that led a talent migration from a lot of charters in that area, which exacerbated this long-term sub issue at those charters. So it does seem that increasing salaries can be effective, but can sort of shift the problem around a little bit. So that if that is a solution that is pursued going forward, it would be important to note that.
I'm curious, were there any subs at the forum?
So we did have Dr. Robert Kimball. He is GVSU's Associate Vice President for Charter Schools. He is not a long-term sub, but they are the authorizer of a lot of charter schools that across the state that do rely very heavily on long-term subs. He said that this is an issue that they are concerned about, and they want to help be a part of the solution of getting more certified teachers in classrooms across the state.
As the next stage of solutions might ramp up after this, what are the policy issues that need to be addressed next? I mean, is there an obvious stakeholder to pick up the ball?
I think in terms of who is going to have to pick up the ball would depend on which policy option that people are hoping to pursue. When it comes to, say, encouraging undergraduates to enroll in teacher preparation programs, that would be a solution that would fall more toward our universities across the state. If it were to be reforming state law so retired teachers can substitute teach without diminished benefits, that would fall in the lap of the legislature. I guess what I think is really important to note here is that there is really resounding agreement across all of the demographics that we spoke to that this is an issue and that people want to see solutions. It is very rare ever, but especially these days, to find something, especially in education, where you see really broad consensus. And this is an issue that we saw broad consensus on.
Alexandra, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Alexandra Schmidt is Public Engagement Director and a reporter at Bridge Magazine. For a little bit more context, let's bring in Chris Wigan. He heads the Michigan Association of Superintendents. Chris, welcome back to Stateside.
Yeah, thank you very much. Always good to talk with you.
And as we've just heard, it appears that there's a strong mandate, according to Bridge's survey and research, to reduce our school district's reliance on long-term subs. Maybe it's a good idea to just talk about some of the reasons districts have had to rely on long-term subs in the first place.
Well, this is a really complicated, bigger picture issue, and it's a story and a whole hour-long discussion in total. However, I want listeners to know and others that, you know, school districts only use long-term subs as a very last resort. We certainly appreciate the service of long-term subs and what they bring to our school districts, but all of us would prefer to have regular certified teachers in front of the students for the entire year. However, we're at a point where we do have a definite teacher shortage, and we have to make sure that, you know, if there's not a full-time teacher available, we get the most prepared and the most ready long-term substitute that's possible. Not our preference, but we're kind of forced into this right now.
At the time when state rules were adjusted to allow for more use of long-term subs, people who only had 60 college credits under their belts, the Michigan Department of Education called those waivers a necessity. Would you say the conditions that led us down that road in terms of a teacher shortage have changed substantially?
You know, I think every year we continue to see with our members, with superintendents, a continued increase in the teacher shortage. I appreciate that the department lowered the amount of hours. Still, it still is a local district decision. And so there are some districts that don't need to depend as much on that. They can keep the standard higher if they want. Or there are other districts that are really in trouble and need to reach out and adjust those hours. So it still is a local district decision, but one that allows some flexibility at the district level.
What are some creative solutions that districts in the association have tried, maybe places like Detroit, to try to get teachers in sooner and reduce their own reliance on long-term subs?
Well, there are certainly a lot of things that a lot of districts have tried. The 313 initiative in the Detroit area certainly is a great opportunity to bring teachers into the profession and keep them into the profession. But we all need to do some things together. And we're working with the labor unions. We're working with Department of Education, post-secondary institutions. And we've done some polling of teachers, and we found out that areas we need to improve upon, we need to change the perception of public education in the eyes of our legislators and also our communities. And turn things around so that we would tell our sons, our daughters, our friends, you should become a teacher. It's a great profession. We need to make sure that the compensation is fair and appropriate. And in many districts, we aren't able to be there yet. We also need to make sure that we lower the amount of bureaucratic things that a teacher has to do so they can focus on the children. And we also need to continue to make sure that things like teacher evaluations and other professional development activities are relevant and meaningful. So this wasn't created overnight. It's not going to be fixed overnight. But we all need to continue to work on this together. And that means everyone from top to bottom and side to side. It's a major issue in our state.
I mean, it sounds as if a big piece of this would be tipping the balance for financially, making it possible to start teachers at better base pay. What do you imagine might pave the way for that?
Well, I think we have to have a serious talk at the legislative level with policymakers, with those of us in education about really what that looks like and what amount of money are we talking about and how can we work to make that happen. School districts have been strapped for years. We all know that. They pay teachers as much as they can. You know, for many districts, approximately 85% of their budget is salaries and benefits. And so that's a huge amount. And we just can't increase that amount without additional dollars for education. And it's a policy discussion in the state. We've started it with the School Finance Research Collaborative and some of the weighted funding that's necessary. But it's a serious discussion we have to have. And I will also say that we know it's not just about the compensation. There are many other factors that have created this shortage. But certainly the compensation is a big one that has to be addressed while we work on the others.
Do you think it makes a difference to inform parents about the training that their kids' teacher might have? One of the things that came up in the Bridge survey was suggesting that if parents simply knew who was in the classroom, they might be ready to take on some of that advocacy themselves and say, this is not acceptable.
Yeah, I think that's a fair and reasonable request, and we need to figure out how to do that so that it doesn't burden school building staff that's already overburdened with all types of things that they have to do. But yes, we certainly support parents knowing who is in front of their child, and that should be worked out at the local level. And we certainly appreciate any parent involvement in their child's education, and if being more communicative on the teacher that's in front of them helps with that, we certainly need to work in that direction.
Is alternative certification an answer?
Well, I don't know. I think it depends. You know, part of this is trying to make sure that we have teachers in front of children without lowering the standards for quality. And that's a fine line. So I think we need to do more looking at alternative education certification. I think we need to examine all aspects of teacher certification at this point. So I would suggest that we don't, I would suggest that we take a careful look at that, but at the same time, make sure that the alternative certification meets the ethical and legal requirements to make sure we have a quality teacher in front of the students.
It feels like the way that the state got into this situation was by acknowledging that kids need caring adults in the classroom, and that maybe our path to finding those caring adults, you know, doesn't have to always look the same as finding a full-time teacher. But is there really a way around finding a certified teacher for every classroom?
Well, right now, that's just not possible. We ran a survey in September after school had been in session for 2 weeks, and 60% of the superintendents who responded to the survey still had one or more teacher opening in their classrooms. So at this point, we just don't see the match of the amount of certified teachers and the amount that we need in the profession. So it remains a serious problem. And, you know, I have a lot of empathy for school districts. They want to put the highest quality, most certified teacher in front of their children. But if you don't have applicants, or the applicants you have just don't meet your quality standards, then I understand the need for long-term subs.
Well, thank you so much for your time today.
All right. Thank you very much.
Chris Wigan is the executive director of the Michigan Association of Superintendents.